Good evening. My name's Sue Slack. I'm interviewing Margaret Moss for the Burwell Oral History Project. And Margaret is going to tell us about her school days and her reminiscences of Burwell. Okay, Margaret, would you like to introduce yourself? Tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Margaret. I was born in Burwell in 1937. In the front room of a house in a row of cottages called the Lays. And I moved there. From there, I moved up to High Street. And when I was 18 months old, I moved to the Causeway, and I've lived on the Causeway ever since.
Really? Have you lived in the same house all the time?
No, when I was small, we lived in number 63, and when I got married, we bought number 83, and we've lived here ever since.
And how many years is that?
56.
56, yes. You were telling me about the house and what it's built of. Can you tell us about that?
Our house was built in 1890, and the front is brick, but the sides and the back are made with Burwell clunch, which is in fact about 18 inches thick. So in the summer it's really cold. You can sit in the garden and get really hot, but when you walk back in the house you want to put your cardigan on. But in the winter, once the central heating has got warm, it keeps the house warm then right the way through the winter.
Yes. And of course, clunch is what the Burwell Mill is made of.
Yes.
So yeah. It's really strong.
Because we did have a clunch pit in Burwell where all the clunch came from. Uh-huh. And I think the last time they took any out of there was, I'm not quite sure, just a few years ago when they wanted to do something extra at Anglesey Abbey.
Right.
So they dug some clunch out of Burwell Pit and took it over to Anglesey Abbey. Some of the colleges in Cambridge have got Burwell clunch in them.
Can you tell us about your family, your parents and any brothers and sisters?
No, I'm the only child.
You're the only child, yeah.
Unfortunately. My father used to work on the for the Oud Catchment Board, and he used to clean all the rivers out. Uh-huh. Not like they do now with machinery. There used to be eight in his gang, when they cleaned the bottom of the rivers out, there was one side and one the other with great big knives which they pulled backwards and forwards across the bottom of the river to cut the reeds at the bottom. Uh-huh. And they'd also have two men walking along the bank with scything all the sides down. Uh-huh. I often say now, if my dad could see the state of Burwell River, he would turn in his grave. Because it was always, and they used to work from Denver Saluce right the way through Hilge and Southery, and they'd go through Cambridge and finish up at Saffron Walden. And then they'd turn around and start again.
All by hand.
All by hand.
Mm. Marvellous.
And to start off with, there was no way of getting there apart from on a bicycle. So he used to have to leave home early to start work at 7 o'clock, especially when they were working somewhere like Denver.
So very fit then.
Very fit.
Very fit, yeah. Yes. What can you remember about your earliest days in the village, your childhood? Can you remember the mill at all?
Yeah, I can remember that. I was about eight and my dad used to keep pigs and chickens, and he would go up every now and again with a big bag of corn to have it ground by Mr. Stevens. But unfortunately, being a girl, I was never allowed in the mill. I wasn't even allowed up the top of the steps. I had to stop on ground level. So...
Yes.
And even to this day, I've never been inside.
Right. And can you remember the sails on the mill turning?
Just vaguely I can remember.
Yes.
Them going around.
So when would you think that would have been? Was that after the war?
Somewhere about 1940. 48, I should think.
Right, yes, yes, okay. And earliest reminiscences of school days, can you remember your first day at school or first days?
I can't remember the first day, but we used to have a teacher called Mrs. Campbell. Very nice lady she was. And then you went through the school. I went to the Guildhall School near the church. That was my first school until I was seven. Mm-hmm. And then you went over to the other side of the road where Miss Florrie Carter was the headmistress. And she was a headmistress as well.
So, very strict, was she?
Very strict, yes.
So how would you describe, what did you have to do that you describe as being strict?
Well, when she walked in the room, everybody went absolutely quiet. Mm-hmm. And if she said do something, you had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the girls, she used to live in Isaacson's Road, and we could get up to where she came down, or what they called Green Road. So we used to go and meet her. And one Monday morning, she came in and she got this huge bunch of pink weed, as we called it. And she told us what it was called. And then when we got into class, she asked us if we could remember what it was. It was called willow herb. Oh. And because we couldn't remember, we all had to stay in at playtime and write out 50 times willow herb. Never forgot the name since.
Right. Okay. So, any other memories of school? What was it, girls and boys together? Or
yes.
You were mixed school.
We were mixed, yeah.
Were you allowed to play together in the playground?
Oh, yes.
Yes, you were, yeah. Because I think my school, we were separate. Did you have any particular friends when you were at school?
Yes, and one of them I'm still writing to,
really?
Still in touch with now.
Yeah.
Her mother was one of our school teachers, mm-hmm. and Mrs. Bowen.
Yes.
And then her daughter, who's also named Margaret, went to live in Leeds, and I still contact her now.
That's good, yeah, yeah. And you, I hear you're a great one for the local groups. You're one of the original friends of the museum. Can you tell us about that? How you were talked into actually going along to the meetings?
Well, I was talked into going to the meeting to keep somebody company, and I said, "Well, I'll come, but I'm not going to join." By the time I came home, I had joined, and I'd also been called onto the committee. And I have now been chairman of the committee for about 12 years.
So you've seen people come and go, I expect.
Seen lots of people come and go on the committee,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, and changes in the mill itself and the museum itself.
Big changes in the museum.
Yes. What was it like when you first joined the society? What was the mill? What was the condition of the mill?
They were just starting to renovate.
Right.
It again.
So it was in a bit of a state, was it? Yeah. Then what year would this be then? Can you remember? Was it 1970s or 1980s?
In the
1980s, yeah, so when they formed
I think the mill was opened in 82 and we started.
Right, yes.
Just after that.
So it was in quite a bad state. So how many people were on the committee?
The Friends Committee originally, mm-hmm. about 12.
12, yeah. And were these people who actually got hands on and started to do things to the mill?
We actually formed ourselves as what we called a fundraising committee.
I see. Yes.
So we raised the funds that the trustees could spend, uh-huh. and that gave the trustees more time then to do painting and any renovating they wanted to do.
Yes.
Doing.
Yes. So were they mainly ladies in the Friends?
No, we had men and ladies.
Mm-hmm. And what sort of events would you put on to raise money?
Well, when we first started, we was just doing the odd jumble sale and things. Then we thought we'd branch out, and we had a mini fete one Sunday afternoon. We still have the fete every Sunday afternoon, but it's got rather large now. This year we had the Molly dancers.
Oh, yeah.
We had them come to dance, which brought in a nice big crowd. And Barbara and I, we've been having yard sales at the end of her garden. We started off with 2 6-foot tables selling stuff, and we ended up by taking over. She's got a double garage, and so's her neighbour, and we ended up taking the whole lot. The husbands took the cars out of the garages. In fact, her husband's garage we used to use as the sale space for books and clothes in case it rained.
Mm-hmm.
And I should think we ended up with about 30 tables in the end. It just snowballed. And when we first started off, we thought ourselves quite lucky if we made £100. And the last few before we stayed, we was making £600 and £700.
Really?
Mm. During the year, we had about 7 or 8 sales, depending on if we could fit it in. And we was raising between £3,000 and £3,500.
Wonderful.
And when you come to think, it was only other people's throwaways that we were selling.
Mm. Well, we've all got stuff like that that we need to get rid of. Yes, that's a really good idea. And did you have coffee mornings, that sort of thing?
Oh yeah, we still do. We have coffee mornings, jumble sales. So
anything to raise
a quiz
money.
Night.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And anything that we could really raise money for.
Mm.
Our aim was, we want your money, that's all.
Yes.
And because we don't have the yard sales now, and that knocked our money down, because for 3 years we gave the trustees £10,000 at the end of for 3 years. And when we stopped the yard sales, it knocked our money down. So mm-hmm. Barbara and I now do coach trips out. And we try and get about 6 of those in a year.
Oh, yes, I've seen them on the list, yeah. Hmm. And what other groups are you involved with in the village? I hear you're a versatile lady.
the Women's British Legion.
Mm-hmm.
I really got caught up with that because my mum was a founder member when they started 65 years ago.
What was your mother's name?
Lillian Baker.
Lillian Baker. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she was a founder member, and she is still, although she was 100 in June, she doesn't come to the meetings, but she is a life member. And because of her, I joined the Women's British Legion. I also belong to the Guide Association. I was a guider, a brownie guider, and the district commissioner for 46 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was with St John Ambulance at Soham for 25 years. I delivered the Clunch magazine. When the Clunch magazine started off in the village, my mother started to deliver, and then she got that she couldn't. So for the last 15 years, I was delivering. I've been delivering it.
Mm-hmm. Right, so a lifetime of public service then.
Yes.
So I expect you've seen lots of children grow up to adulthood and marry and leave, etc. So they would all know you.
I did work in Lloyd's Pharmacy for 18 years, and I used to have my brownies would come in the shop with their children.
Yes.
Making me feel quite old then.
Yes. Can you remember any funny stories that happened with the with the guides? Did you go camping at all?
Yes. I only ever went camping once. We went to Heacham in Norfolk.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been about 1950. And in those days, there was no health and safety or anything. And there was eight of us were going with the sewing guides. Well, they had their transport, so we had to get our transport. And there was a garage in the village, which is now Manchester Garage, was owned by Mr. Fred Rawlinson. And part-time, apart from the garage, he used to do a bit of furniture removal. So he'd got this huge furniture lorry, and that was the only way we could get to Heacham. So the eight of us piled in the back of his furniture lorry with all our equipment and that sort of, not secured, that was just floating around the lorry. And we had got nowhere to sit. We just hung on the sides of the lorry for dear life all the way down there. So every time we went around a corner, we went, and so did all the stuff on the floor. And 'cause it was dark. There was no lights in there, so we really didn't know where we were or anything. And we eventually got down to Heacham, pitched the tents, and in those days, if you touched the top of the tents, the rain came in. Well, we was unfortunate. We had rain every single day. We had three thunderstorms, and the girls used to say, I wonder if that really does work, if you put your finger in. So they'd stick their finger in the tent, but they never did it over their bed. It was always over somebody else's bed. So when it rained, the water dripped in.
Mm. And I presume you didn't have any blow-up mattresses in those days.
Oh, no, no.
Was it the hard ground?
You had a waterproof sheet and two blankets. One blanket was stitched up to make like a sleeping bag. And you used your spare clothes for a pillow. By Thursday, because of the rain, we hadn't got a dry pair of socks on the camp. We was about 3/4 of a mile from Heacham Beach. So every time we wanted to go down there, we had a long walk. And if we did go into Hunstanton one day, and we all queued up at the bus stop. And got on the bus. I think they wondered what had got on the bus all this week. It was a nice time. It was an experience, and I vowed that I would never sleep under canvas again. And I never have, although I've been in the Guides Association for 46 years. Taking the brownies away, but we always stayed in the Guide Jarman Centre holiday home at Newmarket.
What sort of toilet facilities did you have on the camp?
A tent with a hole in the dirt, and two boards across the top of it,
and
with just a wooden seat on to sit on.
And did you have toilet paper? Or?
Oh yes, you had toilet paper.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So some luxury.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a little bit of luxury.
And it rained every day.
It rained every day.
So you got no showers, I presume.
Oh no, you just had
just in a field.
You just had a square tent made of canvas, and you just had to go and stand in and wash in a bowl.
Right. Yes. Did you have campfires?
Oh yes, we had campfires.
And did you sing round the fire?
Yeah. Yes. And all the food was cooked in big billy cans on the campfire. There was no gas or anything to cook by.
No. So what sort of food would you cook?
Oh, they had all.
Did you do a
stew? And I know one day we was having chocolate pudding, and the billy can boiled dry, so the bottoms of it were all burnt.
Oh dear! Somebody got in trouble.
Oh, you still had things like egg and bacon for breakfast. Mm. Oh, yeah. Surprising what you can cook over a campfire.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. So, Do you still see any of the girl guides that you took camping or activities? Yes. They're still in the, as you say, they bring their they've got their own children.
They're the Brownies, and the guides, yeah, they've all got children of their own now.
Yes, yes. Okay, right. Any other groups you're in? I think we've covered most of them now.
I think we've nearly enough covered them.
Yes.
I belong to the Burwell Flower Club.
Oh, well, Burwell Flower Club. How long have you been part of the Burwell Flower Club then?
Well, I was with them for about 12 years. And unfortunately, Burwell Flower Club was the same night as St John Ambulance. So I had to stop Burwell Flower Club. And then when I retired from St John Ambulance, I went back to Burwell Flower Club because they were always on Thursday nights.
Right. With the St John Ambulance, did you ever have emergencies that you actually helped people in the village?
Yeah. Not in the village. We used to go out on duty.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember any of those?
Gymkhanas and fates, things like the pumpkin fair. Whatever was going, we used to get invited. We used to go to one of the best ones we went to was the folk festival at Cambridge. and we was always lucky. We always got the, because they were on from Thursday to Monday, different groups, and we're always lucky. We always got a Saturday afternoon between 3 and 11 when all the best groups were on. And it was quite nice because you could walk anywhere in the folk festival because she was in uniform and nobody ever said anything. So we used to wander in the backs of the stages and talk to all the...
Wonderful.
It was a nice one.
We went to
the Tulip Festival at Spalding.
Yes, they have a parade there, don't they? Yes.
Yeah, we used to go there.
Did you have any occasion you had to give CPR to somebody?
No, I never had to do that.
Never had to practice that.
Oh yes, yeah. They were very, very strict, and we had to pass a test every year.
Yeah, but you didn't actually have to do it.
Yeah, we didn't. No,
for real. What sort of things would people come to you for? Say Cambridge Folk Festival, would they burn themselves or whatever?
Burn, stings. One bloke was dancing on a table. He was partly drunk, dancing on a table. The table gave way and he cut all his top lip. And we always had a doctor with us, and the doctor decided that he ought to go to Addenbrookes Hospital, and they put 4 stitches in his lip, top lip, and when he came back, all he was worried about was would he be able to kiss his girlfriend goodnight.
You didn't have any babies being born?
No, not there. No, no, there were babies there though.
Yes.
There were they right from, you know, a few weeks old, right to grannies and granddads. Everybody went to the folk festival. It was a lovely evening.
Yes. Yeah. Did you ever see? Were there any people who had taken drugs and
yes,
were worse for wear?
Yeah, a lot of them were very worse for wear.
Yes. What could you do to help them? Just give them somewhere to sit, or
not a lot. If they were too bad, they were sent to hospital.
Because we always
had a doctor with us.
Mm-hmm.
So he was there, but he didn't come in unless we called him. But he was always on call.
Mm-hmm. And
you'd always got the police there as well, within earshot in case anybody got rough.
But I don't recall anybody dying at the festival.
No, not while I was there.
I don't think so, no. So a nice family festival, mainly, I think.
Well, yeah. It was. There was always a nice atmosphere.
Mm.
You got the odd one that was drunk and made a nuisance of themselves, but
yeah,
they'd come into our tent and say, oh, I've got a headache. Can I have some paracetamol? And we'd always have to ask the question, have you been drinking? No, I haven't been drinking. And there is his mate, our patient's mate, standing at the door with two pint glasses in his hand. And we used to say, well, what's your mate got? Oh, he hasn't got anything to do with me.
And you say the Spalding Tulip Festival as well. Any sort of casualties there? That's
No,
just a nice day out, yeah. I expect. Yes, I remember seeing the Tulip Festival. Yeah.
No, that was a really nice do.
Yes.
We had a bit of a laugh one night because some the people from Market Deeping borrowed two of our telephones so they could keep in contact with each other, and they went off and they took our phones with them. So we had to come home via Market Deeping to pick our phones up, so we didn't get home very early that night.
Well, Margaret, this has all been very, very, very interesting. Thank you very much for talking to us, and good evening. Thank you.
Good evening.